Hello and welcome to the NBA Alley, presented by Off the Glass. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and special guest, Alex Basilin. What's up, fellas? How we doing?
No complaints.
My hopeful team to dethrone the Golden State Warriors. I'm really excited to talk about the Celtics.
Yeah, it's honestly, this is a team, I think, going to the season a little bit more hype every day because you're like, can this team actually beat the Warriors? We'll talk about that a little bit later. If you want to check out the rest of our shows and our previews, look on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Before we look forward to next season, we're going to look back at last year. Obviously, Celtics were 55-27, lost in 7 Eastern Conference Finals. And if you looked at just the numbers, you'd be like, wow, that was a really good season. Like, nothing bad really happened. That's successful. But then when you think about Gordon Hayward injured on the opening minutes of opening night, and then Kyrie hurt, you know, throughout the season, then missed the postseason. What were your thoughts on last year, guys?
I think last year you got to consider it for the most part a success. I mean, you just look at the way the Celtics have progressed the last couple of years. It was a fairly linear progression in getting all the way to the conference finals, but at the same time, I mean, it hurt once they lost because it felt like that team really still, even without Irving and Hayward, could have beaten the Cavs. So overall, I'd say a success, but there was definitely a bittersweet note to it.
Yeah, I mean, the entire season, I mean, obviously with how much they achieved with what they went through is amazing, and Brad Stevens deserves a round of applause for what he was able to do with a bunch of young guys, and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown. Those guys were crucial to all the success they had last year, winning those 50-plus games. Obviously, as you mentioned, Nick Hayward went down the first 6 minutes of game one. It ripped out the heart and soul of Celtic fans. It left me breathless. It's one of those moments where I don't think I'm ever going to forget where I was and what happened. Cause it was just one of those moments where it was just complete and utter shock. And of course, Kyrie Irving dealt with knee troubles in which, you know, he got an infection, and it was a really bad infection. Like, if it went unchecked, then he could have had some serious issues. So then you go into the playoffs without your two stars, you know, led by Al Horford and a bunch of kids, more or less. And they managed to, you know, make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they were a game away. And not even were they a game away, but they were a few plays away. You know, that game seven was close until the end. Jason Tatum, I think, has proven that he's probably going to be a cornerstone piece for this franchise going forward. We saw him go toe-to-toe with LeBron James. I mean, the posterizing dunk in game seven and the chest bump after. I don't even think Jason Tatum realized how unguardable he was in that game seven and in that series in general. Scary Terry in the first round. This team, they just showed how much heart they have. You know, even when they had Isaiah Thomas the last couple of years, this team has always been known for just playing with heart and grittiness, and last year was no exception.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a success because of all the strides all the players have taken. And like you said, Jason Tatum, I think a lot of people expected a big rookie year, but not that big. And in most seasons without a Donovan Mitchell or Ben Simmons, he's a clear-cut rookie of the year. Other than Tatum, which Celtics young player kind of improved the most in your eyes?
I mean, Jaylen Brown, you know, made those same strides next to Tatum. He was not that featured as a rookie. You know, we really only saw glimpses of him in the playoffs and started to see the guy who he could be. But he really assumed a great 3-and-D role. He really stepped up his shooting. He shot almost 8 threes a game and was still able to up his three-point efficiency, which I thought was huge for his game. And I thought, you know, having him as a legitimate building block next to Tatum gives them a pretty fearsome future because those two guys can slide between all the forward and guard positions. They really would fit on pretty much any NBA roster. So I think those two, you know, are hard to argue with the Celtics' future.
Yeah, I would as well would have picked Jaylen Brown. I'm going to pick Terry Rozier to be different. But I just want to say a couple things about Jaylen Brown quick. And you're right, he made complete strides. I remember watching Summer League last year and just watching Brown and Tatum pretty much own everybody, thinking like, wow, if these guys translate this to the regular season, they're going to be big-time rotational players. And obviously, they were all that and more. And then Terry Rozier, I mean, we've heard him in so many rumored deals, and it seems to be the guy Danny Ainge is like, no, I'm not trading him. And last year we got to see why, especially in the playoffs. Obviously, the shooting numbers in the regular season were a little bit, and you know, he shot 39%, so that's not great. But he's a solid point guard, and I think he, especially in that first round series, where he pretty much, you know, dismantled Eric Bledsoe. We saw what he can be when he actually plays starter minutes. So I think for me, it was definitely Jaylen Brown, but Terry Rozier had a very nice season as well.
Yeah, and I think that 39% from Rozier, too, is a little misleading just because he was having to carry so much weight. So I think, you know, I definitely agree, Rozier, huge strides. I mean, Scary Terry in the playoffs was a revelation.
Yeah, Terry did have that really big first-round series, and he was really good at home, had some great moments for them. And then, like Corey said, it kind of makes sense why Ainge wasn't trying to trade him during the season. And obviously, with the Kyrie injury, he gave them insurance. A couple things I like from Jaylen Brown, I thought a couple times in the playoffs, he really did a good job after a loss and coming in the next game and setting the tone and being really aggressive. He also provides some nice toughness for that team. He just seems like a guy that's very fearless out there. But what was the biggest highlight of last season for the Celtics?
So Corey already touched on my top highlight a bit when he talked about the Jason Tatum play. I mean, that play for me really just symbolized what we've talked about, the strides that Brown and Tatum and to a lesser extent Rozier made last year. And I think that was really the big takeaway for this team. Once he lost Irving and Hayward, it, you know, became about those guys. And that play just symbolized how far Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown came over the season, you know. Tatum's problem so much of the year was he was so timid, you know, just wouldn't take enough shots, wasn't aggressive enough, even though we saw that he had the skills. It felt like everyone knew he could score but him. And that play to just go at LeBron and then celebrate after, I think it showed what a lot of Celtics fans want to see from Tatum is just that almost alpha dog kind of mindset. And I think that's just really exciting going forward.
Yeah, I think the highlight play for me the highlight player, I think, is Jason Tatum. The highlight play as well is probably that posterizing dunk. Another play that sticks out would be Kyrie Irving against the Suns earlier in the year. He had one sequence. He crossed over like two defenders and did a spin move around another for an easy layup, which is just the kind of circus type of stuff you expect from Kyrie Irving. But those two probably are my highlights.
Yeah, overall for me, it was just Jason Tatum, like I mentioned before, and we talked a little bit about. It's just the improvements he really made throughout the season, taking that next step, obviously the playoff performance like Corey mentioned against LeBron, and then just giving them a player that they've gotten in a, you know, lucky, a nice little gift from Billy King that allowed them to get Jason Tatum and add to this already talented team. Now they have a nice young core to even move forward with Tatum, Brown, and Rozier. So, you know, I think that's obviously biggest highlight. Now, disappointment-wise, where's the negative of last season?
Well, it got out of the way pretty quick. For me, it was 5 minutes in, another one we've talked about, Hayward. Just a freak play. I mean, going up for a backdoor alley-oop, just lands awkwardly. I mean, like Corey said, it's one of those things I'm never going to forget where I was. I went to Wingstop, had a full plate of wings sitting in front of me, was getting ready to eat, super excited, great season, ready to watch the Celtics go compete for banner number 18. And, you know, right when that happened, I mean, I struggled to watch the rest of the game. I don't remember the rest of the game, really, because it was terrible. I mean, props to the Celtics for bouncing back, because that one was tough for me. That really put a damper on my season.
Yeah, it's got to be the Gordon Hayward injury. He was fresh off inking that four-year deal, and obviously he's getting paid $128 million over that four-year deal, and, you know, we didn't get to see him. We didn't get to see what this team was hopeful to be. And then, you know, obviously to add on to that, it's Kyrie Irving as well. You know, anytime you go into the playoffs as a top seed, as a home court advantage team, and you don't have your two stars, it's a disappointment because you don't get to see this team at the very best. So it's got to be just the injuries in general.
Yeah, I agree, Corey. I think obviously the Hayward injury, like you guys touched on, was, you know, dramatic for the entire NBA, and just opening night having that happen was just like a sour taste. And like I've mentioned before, couldn't wait till the next game started because you just really didn't want to watch that. And then obviously Kyrie not being there in the postseason, being that closer, having his biggest moments in the playoffs, and then losing in seven. I think the feeling for a lot of Celtics fans was if we had Kyrie in this moment, we're probably playing in the finals.
It's a good argument to make.
And moving on from there, though, enough about last season. Looking at this year's rankings, number two, you know, in the OTG Power Rankings, via our writers and our staff, what are your thoughts of the Celtics coming at number two? Too high, too low, fair?
I would say two's pretty on point. You know, I think it's pretty much between them and the Rockets right now if you're looking at preseason. And I'm with most people who felt the Rockets got a little weaker this year. Don't love the Melo edition. Not sure how their perimeter defense is going to hold up. Although I will say I am pretty excited to see these three-guard lineups they're talking about. They are playing a lot more of Gordon, Harden, and Paul. But at the end of the day, I think right now the Celtics are the biggest threats to the Warriors. They've built a lineup that can switch a lot, play that some of that positionless basketball the Warriors have talked about. They've got that late-game killer in Kyrie, who, as we know, has a history against the Warriors. So I think two is absolutely fair.
Yeah, I think two is fair because this, on paper, is the best team in the Eastern Conference. Not that we did the power rankings like that, because the Rockets, I think, are pretty close to them, especially because their offense is so much better. But the Celtics, just on paper, have a really complete, full team, a lot of depth on this roster. So I think two is very fair.
Yeah, I like you guys said. I think it's pretty close with Houston, but I think when you look at the Celtics, you have more confidence in the defense and you have more confidence in the depth where they dealt with injuries last year. Guys made improvements. Now they're going to be asked to be in smaller roles where, in some cases, they may be more efficient. Now, looking at this year's additions, it wasn't really a busy offseason for the Celtics, but draft-wise, number 27 overall, they drafted Robert Williams. You know, right now he's pretty raw, pretty much a dunker, can improve in a lot of areas. What are your thoughts on this pick?
I mean, Danny Ainge always goes for he traditionally goes for the best talent available, and I think Williams does that, but he also fills a need for the Celtics. I mean, you look through this roster right now, he's by far the most athletic big man. I mean, Al Horford has his own kind of athleticism, and, you know, he'll occasionally dunk on some guys. But he's not flying around the court like that. Baines and Tice are pretty groundbound. So I think he gives this front court an injection of athleticism that is really going to help. Even if he's not playing a huge role this year, I think he's going to be able to develop for this team. In a couple of years, I think he could really be a starting level big man for them. Just a good rim runner, rebounder, and rim protector.
Yeah, I mean, I like this pick for every reason you just named. This kid's athletic. He can run up and down the floor. He's a decent rebounder, as Nick mentioned too. He's very raw, so this is going to be a 21-year-old who's got to work on his game, but he's by far the quickest center they've had in a long time. And in college, you know, he was a decent rebounder, a decent scorer from around the basket. He averaged like 2 blocks per game, and that's really what the Celtics team has needed. They've needed help at the center position. Obviously, I think Aaron Baines is a really good backup for that, and Daniel Tice, before he tore his ACL, he was also playing some good basketball. This just adds depth, and who knows how he develops.
Yeah, he just needs to worry not to oversleep. But any other thoughts on the free agent signings that they made? You know, a lot of minor guys. Any guys stick out to you, Alex?
You know, there is the one unfortunate. They re-signed Jabari Bird, who has had legal incidents. But
yeah, fuck that guy.
Probably make him not a part of the team. Yeah. Yeah, as a Celtic fan, I hope to
never. I'm not going to hold words on people like him. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to see him. Maybe the one other guy, Brad Wanamaker, could be a player to watch. He's a 27-year-old rookie. There are actually some good articles on him. He played overseas after his college career, went to the University of Pittsburgh. And he's a guy who can just shoot the lights out. Right now, you know, obviously the guard rotation looks pretty full. But as we saw last year, injuries come up. You know, guys got to step up. And he's a guy who's got a lot of experience playing overseas. And he could be a really good shot maker off this bench.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a guy to keep an eye on. You know, like you mentioned, Alex, there's a couple good articles about him. A lot of the guys, you know, the Celtics pretty much core in rotation is already set. Talking departure-wise, you know, Abdul Nader, Greg Monroe, Shane Larkin, Kadeem Allen, Jonathan Gibson. Any of these guys you wish they kept or, you know, it worked out?
I would say it worked out. You know, Monroe's interior scoring is something that I might miss at times. Just having a guy you can dump the ball off and have him go to work. But as we saw in the playoffs, that only helps so much when he's such a liability on defense. And with this offense at full strength, knock on all the wood I can find. With his offense at full strength with Irving and Hayward, you know, they really don't need a post-up guy. So I think he was pretty expendable. But it will be interesting to see. He signed with Toronto, so Celtics good to see him a couple times.
Anybody for you, Corey?
No, I don't think they're going to miss any of these guys. Obviously, I think Shane Larkin probably could have found a job in the NBA. I think he has a nice mold. He has a rotational player. Greg Monroe, we know what you get from him. He can do some old school postman stuff. He's a decent passer actually out of the post as well, but defensively just gives you nothing. It was an interesting move by the Raptors, I think, to grab him, but that's a different podcast. Check out the Raptors preview for that. So I don't think they really miss any of these guys.
Yeah, like you guys said, I think considering what they already have, you know, none of these guys are really going to hurt them in terms of a loss. Now, looking at opening night starters, who you got?
So I think we've got the dream lineup. I think it's going to be Irving, Brown, Tatum, Hayward, and then Horford. And I think that's been confirmed by Brad Stevens. They've been running out in preseason, even though Hayward hasn't looked, you know, totally 100%. It looks like he's going to be the starter for the season. I'm excited. It's time to see that lineup in full swing.
Yeah, that's the same exact lineup for me, and I think it's perfect for Gordon Hayward because the fact of the matter is there's a lot of scoring weapons around him, some good defenders around him, and Brown. I think Tatum's actually an above-average defender. He's kind of slept on. He was decent last year. Just needs to get a little bit stronger. And, of course, you know, Horford's good on defense too. So I think that lineup is just good for offensive versatility, and then defensively they can still do a lot of switching.
Yeah, no, same lineup over here. Now, Alex, you mentioned Hayward. We've seen him a little bit in preseason. In my eyes, he's looked a little bit stiff. What have been your thoughts on him?
He looks like a guy who's spent the last year just shooting basketballs in a gym. You know, it makes sense. He's working his way back. I think right now he's trying to pick his spots in the offense too. You know, it's hard coming back, and you got two guys who broke out in Hayward and Brown. You've got Kyrie Irving, who's a legitimate top 10, borderline top 10 player in the NBA. And then Al Horford, who's solid. You know, it's hard to find your spot. It's like he's picking and choosing his spots, but I think Hayward's going to be more than ready for the season. I think Brad Stevens is going to find the right ways to utilize him, and they're reuniting. Or in the reunion, I should say.
Any thoughts on Hayward, Corey, so far of what you've seen?
I mean, it looks like, as Alex mentioned, it looks like a guy who recently broke his foot and is working his way back. I remember when Paul George first came back from his gruesome leg injury, he just didn't fully trust himself. It took some time to get the efficiency up. I think Hayward will be fine. I think by come 2019, we'll be forgetting he had that injury. It'll kind of be something that happened in the past. I think he'll be okay. It's just going to take some time for him to get into a full groove. And obviously, you know, even though Irving missed time last year, everybody on this team played together. Gordon Hayward still has not really played with any of these guys in game time. You know, this is still new for him. He still has to find his role in general. And not only that, a lot of these guys, as we mentioned, they got to play in bigger roles. So for Hayward, he's trying to fit into what they already got. It's not really like last year where they were going to work around Irving and Hayward. Hayward's got to now try and find his role in this team.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Corey, to kind of develop that chemistry. And like you kind of mentioned too, I think having confidence in that leg and ankle after the break, you know, after he kind of has his first big fall, I think he'll almost feel relieved. Now, talking breakout starter, who you guys got?
So since we're already touching on him, I'll go first. I've got Gordon Hayward. Wrote an article for OTG if you guys want to check out a longer version of this argument. But I really think Hayward's got a lot of breakout potential. His year before he joined the Celtics with the Jazz, he really stepped up and was really borderline top 20 player, borderline All-NBA wing, you know, really an elite player. And I think being reunited with Brad Stevens is going to help him work his way back and then become the most efficient version of himself. He's playing with a good team, and he's a good underrated passer, really, for a forward. So I think his assist numbers will step up. And like we talked about, Celtics defense, number one in the league last year. They got good defenders around him, so I think that's going to help him. I'm expecting a big year from Hayward. I'm excited to see him bounce back and remind people of the type of player he was before the injury.
I like the Hayward pick. I'm going with Mr. Old Reliable, and that's Kyrie Irving. Obviously, Kyrie Irving has recently said that he's staying or what'd he say? Like, I would love to stay if you guys will have me. Like, yes, Kyrie, everyone wants you to stay. Come on.
Music to my ears.
Yeah, yes. I'm sure that was really good news for not only the Celtics, but bad news for a lot of NBA teams that were looking to try to sign him next offseason.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Knicks, you're all heartbroken once again that a superstar is passing. But for me, it's Kyrie Irving. I think he's going to be healthy this year. He's got the knee stuff. It sounds situated. I like the little blowout afro he's got going, the little headband. It looks kind of like he looks like a little warrior. Like he's going to be cracking out some moves. Like, I'm really interested to see how he looks. And I'm actually expecting him to be in the MVP conversation this year. I don't know if he'll finish top three. But I know he'll be top 10, and I'm just expecting some big numbers, higher assist numbers, something probably like, you know, 26, 4, and 7 even. The scoring numbers might even be lower, but I think, especially with this lineup, as we mentioned, the versatility, we could see Kyrie Irving more as a playmaker rather than the scorer. I think he'll still be able to get his buckets, of course, But I'm really interested to see how he does running this team with all the weapons they have.
Yeah, that's a really good point about MVP, just in the fact we'll talk about wins a little bit later, but there's a good chance Celtics are going to have top three record in the league. That automatically kind of puts your best player in the conversation. So long as he stays healthy, I think he'll be in there. And like you said, Corey, it'll give him a chance to almost work on his all-around game a little bit more. I know he made some strides defensively last year and then maybe slacked off a little bit towards the middle of the season, but maybe if he can kind of even push more on that level. For me, I'm going to go with Jason Tatum. I think just, you know, the work we saw last year and then in the postseason having that success, you know he worked with Kobe this offseason, so the confidence should be up, and then it's going to be even easier playing with all these great players around him. So I like the jump for Tatum and to really almost become an all-star this year. Now, breakout bench player for you guys.
I'll let you go first, Corey.
All right, so my breakout bench player is going to be Terry Rozier. Obviously, I know they're log jammed with guards. Marcus Smart's going to be more of a two guard off the bench, and I actually think Marcus Smart have a fantastic year. I just, you know, obviously he had the terrible passing of his mother, which is very sad. My heart goes out to him. But I just feel like it's one of those years where he's just, I don't know, I feel he's going to be fueled up. But for me, it's got to be Terry Rozier. He played good in the bigger minutes he got last season. He's going to be continuing to get minutes now, I would expect, at least, being that backup to Kyrie Irving, being able to let Kyrie Irving take some minutes off certain nights and just continue that reputation of scary Terry. Rozier is pretty good in preseason as well.
Contract year two, if I'm not mistaken, Alex, or no?
Yep, contract year, going to be a restricted free agent, so definitely big. Plan to earn one of those coveted starting point guard slots.
Who do you got breakout bench player-wise, Alex?
So for me, I've got a guy who's a bit of a sleeper in my eyes, Semi Ojeleye. He was a rookie last year, played decent minutes, a little under 16 minutes a game, but I think he could be a big part of the Celtics bench group, the BWA, as they call themselves, Bench with Attitude. He's another guy who can slot between both forward spots. And I look at a bench lineup right now. You go Rozier, Smart, Morris, Ojeleye, and Baines. I mean, that's a pretty rugged group. Because Ojeleye, we saw him last year in the playoffs. He started getting minutes. And he was playing one-on-one against guys like LeBron, Giannis, and holding his own. And then offensively, a little bit of a disappointment last year. You know, shooting didn't look great. Overall from the field, under 35%. But he was a solid scorer at SMU, and he was a pretty much a primary option. So, like, being a secondary option, if he gets that three-point shooting up a little bit, he's going to be a big piece of this bench, just being able to come in, rebound and get stops, and hit timely threes.
Yeah, I like Semi Ojeleye as well. That's actually my pick. I think, you know, last year, even during the season, we saw defensive stretches where he was really good. And then the postseason, like you said, he matched up some of the best names in the postseason. And he's big enough to probably play in the NFL. He's just a guy that is really strong, plays some great defense. If he can make a couple strides offensively, like you said, just knock down even the corner threes, I think you put him out there and he's a nice little piece for Brad Stevens to have off that bench.
What are your expectations on the minutes when it comes to the Celtics team? How do you see this breaking down? Like, who's playing? Like, you know, just how do you see these minutes playing out between all of these players? Obviously, they have a ton of depth. I don't even think we're going to see a lot of Marcus Morris, who was a big part of last year. Who do you see actually playing in the rotation? Or, like, how deep is this rotation going to go in the regular season and maybe even the playoffs?
Well, regular season, Brad Stevens is a known tinkerer. So I think regular season, we're going to see some interesting lineups. I think the starting lineup will be pretty set. But I think he's going to play around with those bench groups. And they'll have games where they're going 10, 11 deep. Just one, because of the depth. And two, you know, he likes seeing how other guys kind of work together, how he can find the best unit, put guys in the best situations. And the Celtics know that they're going to be, you know, a top-level team. So they really want to find guys where they can put them in the best situations come the playoffs. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. Once you get to the postseason, usually whittles it down to about 7 or 8. So they'll be, you know, definitely Rozier and Smart should be getting minutes. And then we'll see Baines as a backup big man. And then I think, you know, Ojeleye, Tice, and Morris, you're all going to have to be competing for the rest of those minutes.
It's definitely a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's definitely a good problem to have. Do you think how do I word this? Do you think anyone on this team could win most improved or a defensive player of the year? Obviously, I think MVP is going to be kind of out of the question. But do you think there's anyone on this roster who could win one of those awards? Because obviously there's a ton of young talent on this team.
Yeah, the young talent is there. It's just tough to see the opportunity. I think You know, Al Horford is a very underrated defender. He would probably be the best contender for Defensive Player of the Year. But he's so much more of a team defender than a stats defender that I think that kind of works against him. And, you know, we talked about Tatum and Brown maybe making another leap, which could put them in a most improved conversation. But I think statistically the only way they get those numbers to be big enough to be that most improved is to get another injury, which hopefully doesn't happen.
Hayward coming back kind of hurt a little bit in terms of shot attempts and just getting all the attempts out there. And like you said, Al Horford could technically maybe get in Defensive Player of the Year, but I just think he's maybe not flashy enough for some of the voters.
Yeah, I agree.
Getting on to wins, what's best case scenario for the Celtics?
I would say high 60s. I mean, they won 55 last year with, again, as we've talked about, 5 minutes of Gordon Hayward and like less than three quarters of a season of Kyrie Irving. So with the depth this team has and their ability to withstand some guys missing limited time, I think full health, this team could put up 65 wins first seed in the Eastern Conference.
Best case scenario for me is 68 wins. You know, fully healthy. Hayward, Irving, the depth that's on this roster, Brad Stevens being the head coach. I think 68 wins would be the best case scenario. And, of course, a win seed and an appearance in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to that. I think, you know, like 65, 66 wins, best case scenario, probably a top seed in the East, end up in the Finals. And maybe if Golden State were to have some injuries or something, they have a chance to win it. But on a negative note, what's worst case scenario?
So I think the worst case, you know, the win loss, the win total should still be there in the season. There's just too much depth and too much talent for this team to slip too far. Not to mention some of the teams in the East are not that inspiring, we'll put it. I mean, you guys just got through the team previews, you know. But so I'd say worst case, you know, maybe slip behind Toronto or possibly Philly, a three seed. But really it comes down to the worst case would be losing in the playoffs and then losing Kyrie Irving. That would be all of a sudden this upward trajectory. It feels like the franchise has been on for the last couple of years. You know, it could come crashing down pretty fast.
Yeah, for me, worst case scenario would be anything between 55 and 50 wins. Them not taking a jump, obviously, with everyone back. And also a part of that worst case scenario would probably be injuries. You know, maybe Irving has more knee problems. Maybe Hayward gets banged up or somebody else gets banged up. That's always a worst case scenario. We hope that doesn't happen, but that's always got to be a thought when you think about the worst case scenario.
Yeah. Like you guys said, even if they did have injuries, I still think they get in, you know, somewhere between 51 and 53 wins. If someone were to go down and they end up maybe worst case, you know, one of the lower home court teams, you know, three or four, they still are probably going to go on a deep playoff run. I think even in a worst case scenario, maybe they could get knocked down the second round, but more likely in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, what's your actual prediction for the season?
My actual prediction pretty much strays the line between those two. I think 60-ish wins is pretty reasonable to expect. I'd say low to mid-60s, you know, 60 to 65. And then I have every expectation that they win the Eastern Conference. I think that's going to be a dogfight. And, you know, the finals are the finals. I don't want to say they're going to lose because it hurts me as a Celtics fan, but full-strength Warriors, it's probably not happening. But you never know. You know, like we saw last season gets crazy. Teams don't come into the finals with the exact team they have on paper preseason. So I think this team has every chance realistically to compete for a championship.
My actual prediction is 64 wins and a trip to the NBA Finals still, the one seed in the East. I don't think they win a title. I think they're still an Anthony Davis away, cough, cough. but I think this team is going to continue to be, you know, the best team in the Eastern Conference. I think Toronto will be tough, but as long as the Celtics team stays healthy, I just don't see, between the coaching and the depth, I just don't see how this team doesn't make it out of the East.
Yeah, I think you guys are pretty spot on. I got about 63, 64 wins. You know, as long as everyone stays healthy, you know, end up in the NBA Finals and lose to Golden State. And then you're going to see maybe Brad Stevens up for Coach of the Year. Now, Corey, you mentioned Anthony Davis. What do you guys think are the chances we see Anthony Davis in a Celtics uniform over the next 2 years, percentage-wise?
I'll leave that off. I'll say 30%. The only reason I say it's only 30% for the simple fact of everyone in the NBA is friends nowadays. Everybody wants to go where they can win. And if you're Anthony Davis and you're not having that kind of progress in New Orleans, obviously they had a nice run last year, but it has to continue, it has to get better, and the Western Conference is just tough. So maybe Anthony Davis sees the option of playing with a team like the Celtics, and Kyrie, and that stacked roster out east. There's no one really out there who can challenge them if he goes out there. It's going to be the Sixers and the Raptors, as we know. But every other team is pretty mediocre in the middle of the pack. We're out west. They just got LeBron James, for Christ's sakes. There's a lot of talent out there. So maybe a combination of all that. But I think it'd be probably like 30%.
I would shoot a little lower. I'm going to say about 10%. And part of that is, so I think Danny Ainge has really gained a reputation over the last couple of years as a guy who will trade anyone for anything. All he's trying to do is improve. But a lot of that is tied to the Isaiah Thomas situation. But the thing about Danny that people are forgetting is, what about, 10 years ago, you got the big three, and every year people were saying after the offseason, oh, these guys are done. You got to trade them. You got to trade them. And he did eventually trade him, but he waited for the Brooklyn situation, waited for the right one, did by them. You know, he's not going to immediately just break up a team for an incremental upgrade. So I think if we see, our best case scenarios come through, or even our more realistic ones with 65-1 team, I don't think he's going to trade, one of Brown and Tatum, Rozier, that Kings pick, and probably Horford, all for Davis. I think Danny Ainge, while he has a trader mentality and he's willing to make moves, he's not going to sacrifice his team just for Anthony Davis. At the same time, there is the Kyrie Irving free agent factor too. This team maybe is underperforming a little bit. Kyrie's starting to get a little grumpy. Team feels like they need to make a splash. I'm bumping up to 20%. I talked myself up to 20%.
It didn't take long. No. Yeah, I think you guys are pretty close on it. I think the one thing that I think it like hurts too is like there's going to be so many teams that are going to be willing to throw a ton at New Orleans. And in a New Orleans situation, they're just going to be looking for the best possible package. But he seems to be pretty happy with the Pelicans. Now, a lot will depend on this season if they can make any jump, regarding the players they do have. But moving on from there, what emoji represents the Celtics for you guys?
So the first one is just the shamrock, of course. One, because it literally represents the team. And then also, as we've talked about so much, just injuries. This team needs that luck. We need the luck of the Irish on the side, keep the squad healthy for the year and make a run. And then the other one is the one you see a lot on like food posts, that like mouth drooling face, the kind of the eyes are all slanted and this drool coming out, because I am just so excited to see this full speed, full squad running under Brad Stevens. It's going to be a great season. So those are my two.
Yeah, for me, it's the shamrock, the four-leaf clover. Maybe they have some luck. I know all Celtics fans, including Celtic Express with their new motto, 18 and 18 or 418. The Celtics and Boston in general are looking for that title. So maybe they get a little bit lucky, and that's my emoji.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the smirk emoji. Similar to kind of what Alex was saying with the drooling stuff, like this is a really interesting team. They're just like a lot of talent on there, and it's like maybe this team could beat Golden State in a finals matchup. So I think the smirk works for them. But league pass rating, where do they sit 1 through 10?
I've got this team at a 9.5. I'll start with the negatives. The only reason they're not a 10 would be Marcus Smart's flopping, which I love the guy, but as a fan, sometimes it kills me. I've had to get in a lot of arguments lately, especially after his altercation with J.R. Smith, that even though he flops, Marcus Smart would still be able to throw hands with anyone in the NBA. So his flopping is definitely a negative. And then Tommy Heinsohn, if you're watching League Pass with the Celtics broadcasters,
gotta hit mute.
Yeah, I'm a big homer, but sometimes Tommy's a bit much. He stresses me out. But otherwise, I think they're going to be amazing to watch. We've talked about all the star players. Brad Stevens is going to put them in the right positions. For guys who like kind of the nitty-gritty stuff, Celtics have the beautiful floor. Brad Stevens is going to drop 10 inbound plays a game that'll blow your mind. I'm actually coaching basketball this year, and I'm planning on going through Brad Stevens' out-of-bound playbook on YouTube and just stealing plays. So I think they're going to be a very easy to watch team, super enjoyable.
That's not even fair for those poor kids out there, Alex. Corey, what do you got?
This is my second 10. This team is deep. This is one of the best teams in the NBA on paper. They have a fantastic head coach. I'll say 9.5. And the only reason they're 9.5 is because you can't listen to the Boston Celtics home announcers because they are one of the worst homerist announcers in the game. And I mean, they're a hoot. they're entertaining at times with how they talk. It's one of the more annoying broadcast teams we have. But this team's going to be really fun to watch. And, of course, they're going to be winning a lot of games. That's always entertaining.
Yeah, I think, like, sometimes with the broadcast, you just got to laugh at it.
They do have Scalabrine on the team, at least now. He does road games. So, you know, you get a break from Tommy sometimes, and you get good old Scal. So,
he was great with that Isaiah Thomas because it was always the little guy. And I like that. That one was good. It's all downhill.
For me, league pass-wise, you know, 9.7, 9.8, you know, one of the best teams in the league, a lot of talent on there. They're going to be great in some of the bigger matchups in the league. But what TV show would you watch over the Celtics with a gun to your head?
So there's only one for me, and it could be a legitimate issue if the Celtics play, you know, a Sunday night playoff game. It's Game of Thrones. New season going to be coming out this year. Episodes should be, I've seen stuff, they're going to be like an hour and a half. Just each one's going to be a small, basically a movie. Production values to be crazy. Gonna get the whole finale of the storyline that I've been following for years. So if it comes down to it and there's a Celtics playoff game in April on a Sunday night and there's Game of Thrones on, it's gonna be a problem. Especially because those are two of those things where you can't go on Twitter at all.
Yeah, true.
Because you're gonna see spoilers for either of those immediately. So that could be a dilemma.
And they're going to drop some major bombs in Game of Thrones in every episode. So it's definitely going to be something to keep an eye on. Corey, what about you?
For me, it's actually my favorite show of all time, which is The Sopranos. I just absolutely love that show. I'm a big mob movie guy. For some reason, that genre is just really entertaining to me.
Corey's low-key a gangster. And
yeah. Or I have aspirations to be a gangster, right? But that's my favorite show. So gun to my head, I'd watch that over the Celtics.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Alex actually on this one. So I think it's like one of the first times the guests and I have had the same show, Game of Thrones. Just one of the best shows out right now. And obviously being the final season, there's going to be a ton of drama. What are some predictions? I know you watch Game of Thrones too. I know this is off topic. What are some of your big predictions for Game of Thrones the last season?
Oh, gosh. I'm scared to even get into this. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since I've been online and gone on the rabbit hole that is Game of Thrones fan theories. I used to do it a lot. I've read the books, so there was a time where I was really into it. But I think, you know, the relationship between Jon and Daenerys is gonna be fun to watch. That I think they're gonna take over the world, and then I think we're gonna find out Tyrion's related to them, and to me, the three-headed dragon right there. And then Cersei's counter days. I'm ready to see Cersei die.
I think we've all been waiting for that since like episode one. But Corey, yeah, what about you?
On Jamie.
I'm going to say that at least two of the Lannisters die this season, whether it's Tyrion and Jamie or Jamie and Cersei or Tyrion and Cersei. I think that family is going to be down to one when this series finally ends.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a little guy, but any last thoughts on the Celtics, guys?
Watch out Eastern Conference.
Yeah, not much. You know, we're about a week away from the season, and I just couldn't be more excited. Bring your A-game, Toronto and Philly, because you're going to need it.
All right, guys, as always, a pleasure talking hoops with you. Alex, tell the fans where they can find you on Twitter and find your work.
So you can find all my work at otgbasketball.com, and then my Twitter handle is Basalen B-Ball or Rimgrazers. Whichever one you look up, it'll come up. And, follow me for some good tweets. Hopefully not too much Celtic summarism. No Tommy Heinsohn on Twitter.
Yeah, he's definitely better than that. Corey, always fun talking hoops. We're getting to almost the end of our series. As always, thank everybody for listening. Check us out on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.